Massage.
At the Riverwood. On 40?
Yeah.
High school. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm happy today. Because Jesus lives. He lives. And you know what? We are surrounded by.
This is how I fight my battle.
the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
All right, today's responsive reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'"
Then they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered that Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it.
Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted,
"Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest."
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you as we come together this morning. As you bless the preacher, Father God, bless our praise team, bless everyone here. When you get a word today, Father, that fulfills all our needs, and we take it out into the world to pray for the people. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We were just talking about water turning into wine this morning. Y'all know the only one who can do that right is the good wine. The good wine. The good wine.
Water be turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Awesome in power, our God, our God.
All right, so got quite a bit to say, so I need y'all to pay attention, okay? All right, so it is our anniversary. And 20 years, my age. How beautiful. All right, y'all. So, 20 years in the service of the Lord, and God has provided all the way through. Pastor will tell you how he said it was him and Sheila, and he was like, Lord, where are the people? And here we are. Amen. So we are so thankful for what the Lord has done for us. So it's no secret at this point, all right, that we take up a love offering for this celebratory time. Amen. 20 years, it ain't no secret at this point. Okay, so we're asking for a love offering of $25 or whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to. Amen. But Deacon Tate said $25. Okay, he told me to say that. And then he told me for y'all not to read his shirt.
Amen.
But he said that.
Amen.
Amen. I said it. I did my job. Okay. So now, I have resources here because Demetrius didn't want to read these. I'll read them in her place. All right. So, I'm only 20. I'm really immature. All right. So, one is really important. The Road to Restoration by Michigan Secretary of State. This is a program that will help people to get their license back reinstated. The fact that so many people don't have a driver's license makes no sense to me. But nevertheless, there's a program to help you get it if you need it. All right, so this is happening on April 26th at the Downriver location of Wayne County Community College. So if you need to take a picture of any of this that I have in my hand, I will give it back to Demetrius, and if you need it, please get a picture of it so that you can participate, okay? There is a resume workshop that's gonna be happening April 4th, April 5th, and April 18th at three different locations. So if you wanna work on your resume, that's here also. This one is really important. Available scholarships for the kids who attend DPS. So any DPS senior or students residing in Detroit can benefit from this application. I think they're giving out $100,000 in scholarships for Detroit students, but the deadline is April 3rd. So that is tomorrow. So if you know somebody who needs to apply or you want to apply for yourself or whatever the case may be, please get this information. BASF is holding a tech academy this summer for students at WC3. Okay, so the application deadline is April the 10th. So robotics, engineering, if you're into that kind of thing, here's a flyer for you. And DAPSEP. We know DAPSEP has a lot of things going on. They have programs all year long. I know my son did it several times. I know Beatrice has her grandsons in it. I know Sarah's girls have done it. It's a really good program. Really, really good program. So visit their website. They got something going on Saturday, April 22nd, electrical connections, and this is for fourth grade and fifth grade students. So if you want to get your kids involved, take pictures of these flyers. And if you know someone who may want to get their kids enrolled in it, just get this information and give it to them. All right? All right. So don't forget, every Tuesday, Minister Richard Overall is doing Training Day on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday. Right. The brain be blown after you listen to him. Like, for real. So, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, Bible reading class. Pastor Sarah is going to be teaching Daniel chapters 1-6. So we have questions over there on the table. Pastor has also emailed them, so if you need them either way, there's no excuse. You got your questions. Every Friday at 7 o'clock, Kathy has her Bring Back the Family on Blog Talk Radio. Saturdays, Pastor Janice holds her women's Bible class at 11:30 a.m. So if you want to get in on that, make sure to holler at her. Alexandra, she's not here, but I believe her fundraiser is still going on for the track equipment and things like that. So if you want to get in on that, do before the time runs out. Let's see. Okay, so a prayer list is going to be coming forth, forthcoming, I should say, during altar call. But John's best friend, he asked that his best friend, Bernard Sumner, he had a massive stroke. So we would like to lift him up in prayer. Also, no altar calls for Sunday. Okay, so I'm reading the prayer list. Okay. And I believe that's been up here too. Okay. So we're praying for Lisa, Nicole, Rebecca, Ed. Come on, y'all help. Everybody.
Janice.
Yup, Janice. She's got equipment and Pastor. And Sheila. And just everybody. Okay? Everybody. Okay? Those who have lost. A lot of storms have come through. You got Mississippi, yes. Iowa, Illinois.
Ohio.
Right. Oh. Bad weather. Wow. A lot of people. I read an article where a lady was going to have, she was going to have her baby and found out that her two-year-old died in a storm. Ooh. So, you know, sometimes we think we got stuff and then we realize that people really got stuff. Okay. So continue to pray for all those who have, you know, lost homes and are displaced and things like that. Don't forget to pray for the community of Nashville, Tennessee. We all know what happened in Nashville. Yet another unnecessary school shooting where children are gone, loved ones are gone. So continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and grieving and mourning. And as far as the bereavement announcement is concerned, we all should know by now that Sheila's brother, Dwayne Norwood, passed on this past Wednesday. So Pastor did put the arrangements on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, but if you're not, of course, on social media. His homegoing services will be held on Saturday, April 15th at 11 a.m. at Kernan Funeral Home right on 4th Street. Okay, so Pastor O will be officiating. It is at 11 a.m. One of the mothers asked me, is that family hour and services, or is there service only beginning at 11? Okay, gotcha. Amen. All right, so just to make sure to keep Pastor O and Sheila and Sheila's sister Crystal and Sierra?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Just keep them all lifted in your prayers. No time is a good time to lose a loved one. So we just want to make sure that we're praying for everyone. Amen. And so is Ayana here? Kathy not here, so her gang not here. Okay, well, I'll save this for next week. Nedra here. Nedra's our only birthday this month. It's on the 12th. So I'll save the. It's the only one I got. Okay. All right. The whole month. She got the whole month to herself. All right. So, and you guys know, just really quickly, you know, I've been looking for a devotional. I read a long devotional on Saturday because of time, but I found one that the Lord kind of led me to read. And this one is by Dr. Tony Evans. It's called Put Your Fear Aside. So there's a lot of things going on. People are kind of just scared. They're scared to be in the world. You can't go to the store. You can't go to school. You can't do anything without there just sometimes being an element of fear there. Okay, so I just want to read something to you. And it's called Put Your Fear Aside by Dr. Tony Evans. The Bible refers to fear as a spirit. Fear is something that can consume your emotions, paralyze you, and keep you from maximizing your potential. When you are tempted to be afraid of people, problems, or circumstances, realize that this is actually God's reminder to pray for His divine intervention to calm the fear and to give you peace in the midst of whatever problems you face. That's when you can know that God is real, when you are afraid and He overrides that fear with His presence. So appeal to His presence when fear begins to overtake you so that the emotion of fear doesn't become a spirit of fear. Through Him, you can control your fear instead of being controlled by it. And in the face of fear, wait upon God. Waiting on God does not mean doing nothing. It means not acting outside of God. It means staying within His guidelines and His boundaries. And as you do that, God's timing will be activated on your behalf because you are cooperating with Him, His Word, and His methodology. And when you are operating in that way, you need not fear, for His timing is always perfect. So wait on the Lord. He is waiting on you to wait on Him. So put your fear aside, rest in His presence, and rest in His will. Amen? And those are your announcements.
Offering time. As you see during this song, our deacons will be coming around to collect your offering.
Thank you. It is communion time, where we gather together to remember Jesus' sacrifice, and his obedience and his humility and all of those characteristics that God asks us to be on a daily basis. In Zechariah, it was prophesied that Jesus would come in riding on a donkey. And so today, as we do communion and we commemorate Palm Sunday, remember Jesus' sacrifice. I'm going to read Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, and then we can commune together. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Take, eat. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said, said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I said to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven." Take a drink. And when they had sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And again, I encourage you to remember Jesus' sacrifice as we go into Resurrection Sunday. Remember that he came in as humble as possible to give us the biggest thing that we could have ever gotten from God. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Oh, I got to pray. Okay.
Victory. Be PG today. Straight on.
And you got Alex to see at her dad's. See that he's been in some money. You know, since I was out of school. Watch your dad.
So, all you mothers and those of you who are in your third act of life, I don't like this, but. But it is what it is, and we're going to finish strong, amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all probably noticed I was hobbling around here to begin with the last few weeks. And, of course, being me, I made it worse, so. When you make it worse, you see what happened. Mom said, come in the house and put your pajamas on. Sort of like what Jesus did. Get in the house and sit down. Grateful. Grateful, happy anniversary, y'all. 20 years. Yeah. It made me think about, I remember because when we were meeting at the Beechwood Center before we became a church, and I remember getting ready in June. Rayfield probably remember this. I got the keyboard from him all packed up, ready to go, and the truck, and we was getting ready to. And then that's the night that the lights went out in the world. And the power outage went out that night. It was out everywhere. And thinking about that, because I remember because Marissa was carrying Jalen at the time, and he'll be 20 this year. So that was 20 years ago.
On my birthday.
On your birthday, was that
I was stuck in the elevator at my job for 6 hours.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's not
here yet.
No, it's that summer. It was summer.
I get you. Okay.
It was summer.
August
14th. Thank you.
Yes. So we've come a long way.
Yes.
We've seen many come and many go. We can almost sing like the songwriter. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will definitely lead us home. But I'm not here to preach a song today. So let's go to prayer. Father, right now we are just bathing in the fact that victory belongs to Jesus.
Yes.
That we did not have to fight the fight, but we get to reap all the benefits. So today, Lord, let your words rain forth from heaven through me, your servant, to your people. May we have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and feet to move. For it is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It is Palm Sunday.
Yes.
As our responsive reading tells us, that our King Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The Son of David has come. What is it all about? And why is Jesus riding in triumph? Yeah. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. My main verse is John chapter 10 and one verse there. And a piece of that verse we're going to focus on. But we will be in our Bible, so don't think you can just put yours down after we get through. Because y'all know the teacher in me cannot help but go to another scripture. But John chapter 10 and verse 10, a very familiar verse in scripture, but I pray that you hear it with fresh ears today. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come. that they may have life and have it to the full. Focusing on, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is truly the word of the Lord, because these are the words of Jesus. So, in order to understand why Jesus is riding into town in triumph at this moment, we have to go back. We have to go way back to find out why he came to begin with. Go back to the book of Genesis and the first chapter. Genesis chapter 1, and for those of you who are, just in case you don't know, I'm reading from the New International Version this morning, and the 26th verse of Genesis chapter 1. Somehow I ended up somewhere else. Where it reads as follows. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath, the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so it was so. God saw that he had made all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So when God created mankind, he created them to live and rule with him on earth. To live and rule with him on earth. To be created in his image doesn't mean to physically look like God, because God is spirit. We don't know what he looks like. If you go into Google and Google God, you will not find his picture. People try. Because he is the invisible God, but he made visible representations of what he's like. And they were given instructions to rule, to be fruitful, to be multiplied, to subdue. And they were given every seed-bearing plant to eat from, with exception. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, oh, that's all I wanted, 217. So we finishing off. God gave them the garden, put them in the garden, gave them the commands to rule the garden, to subdue the earth, to be over the animals and everything, to be fruitful, to multiply. And he only gave them one prohibition. From the one tree out of all these other trees, don't eat it. Because of the day you eat it, you might die. He said, you will certainly die. See, in the middle of that garden, there were two trees. One was the tree of life. And the other tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat whatever you want from every tree but this one. Which means they could eat from the tree of life. They were free to eat from the tree of life. But you know how we are. Tell me not to do something and see what happens. So when God told them, you will certainly die, what he was telling them is, the minute you eat from that tree, you will become unresponsive. You know, like when people call in and somebody, his life is seemed to be gone from them, you call 911, you say they're unresponsive. They're not responding to life. They're not responding to the norms of life. They're not breathing. They're not responding. You're thumping them, you're tapping them, you're doing the things, and they're not responding because they're dead. Because that's what it means to be dead. Unresponsive to life. Life. What is life? God is life. Let me break your brains. Because we have been so conditioned. So conditioned. And over the last few years, I've been learning to really read my Bible. And find out that the Bible is just a big old library. With 66 books that we have. And then it's a lot of other books. You know how they got reference books in the library? That you can go read. But the 66 books you need to read. So that you, when you're reading, they go to the reference books, they go to support what you're reading in the 66 books. So if you want to know what happens in the intertestamental period, you can't find that in the 66, but you can go outside to a reference book and find out. But we need to know the 66. So after 20 years, if there's anybody who's not here and has been a member less than a couple years, why haven't you still read the 66 books?
Amen.
Considering that this church has Bible reading class.
Amen.
Like none other. All right. So when we're reading the Bible, we know that this is a big library. So like any other library, there are different types of books in that library. And two books in particular are what they call apocalyptic literature. Genesis and Revelation. See, when we read them, we walk up on them like this is nonfiction. This is straight word. This is straight what I'm reading. This is what is here. But if we were alive back when Moses first put all this stuff down, we wouldn't have seen it that way. We would have known differently that God is describing something. So for most of us, we think about the two trees and we try to worry about, was it an apple? Was it a grape? What was it that Eve gave Adam and he ate? But really what God was saying is, look, y'all, I'm life, not that tree. You can eat from me, but don't eat from that tree, because when you eat from that tree, you're going to die. So I need us to understand when he says, don't eat from that tree, eat from this tree. He's not talking about physically eating of fruit. He's saying you make a choice. You either plug into me and live, or you plug into that tree and die.
Whoa.
Wow.
First time
I've
heard it, buddy.
Whoa.
Wow. Revelation.
Amen. Because you know the word revelation means the apocalypse, the revealing. So he says, don't eat from that tree or you will surely die. You will certainly die. Our relationship will be cut off. Your relationship with each other, Adam and Eve, will become a trash dump. And oh, by the way, Adam, don't get mad at her, because you won't even like yourself when it's over. And by the way, get out my garden. Because if you stay here and you eat from all these other trees, if you eat from me while you have that in you,
come on, Janice.
You are forever messed up.
Come on.
And I can't have that. because I love you too much.
All right. Mm-hmm. Great response.
But God's desire in the beginning when he created mankind was for them to have life. Mm-hmm. Flourishing. To be fruitful. To reproduce like kind. That's why people get messed up when it comes by having kids. You reproducing whatever you are. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting down today. But life, you're supposed to flourish, be fruitful, have healthy relationships with each other. Healthy relationship with God, healthy relationship husband and wife, male and female, healthy relationship with yourself. Because you remember why most people tore up? They don't have a good relationship with themselves because they don't know who they are because they cut off from life. Life. Knowing who you are, knowing what you're, because once you know what your identity is, it's easier to find out your purpose.
Okay.
That's why we got all this confusion in the world. I'm this, but I think I'm that, therefore I want to be that, even though I'm still this. Because people don't know who they are, they don't know why they're here.
Wow.
And because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, they now know and they discern what is good and what is evil. But Jesus, but the Lord told them, that is death. You're dead. You're unresponsive to life. Well, again, we know how the story ended. Adam and Eve ate from the tree. Got kicked out of the garden. Got kicked out of God's presence. With the way of the tree of life being guarded. And throughout history, we see what that choice has done. Because every time we see in the Bible another human being come up, they are too faced with the choice. That's why it's not a tree. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cain had a choice. Mm-hmm. Choose life. Choose God. Sin is crouching at your door. Turn to me. But Cain determined to kill Abel.
Yes.
Noah, building a boat. It's going to rain. 120 years. Everybody, everybody watching Noah build this boat. Noah says the same sermon over and over again. It's gonna rain. It ain't never rained. Who we talking to? Who we think he running? What's going on with him? Now, mind you have to go outside to find out what happens before Noah. That got to the place where God had was grieved that he made man.
Right.
But I'm telling you, if you go read it, it's some toe up stuff that happens. Why? Because your relationship is you're cut off from life. You're cut off from how to deal with each other. So male-female relationships become unhinged.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Domination. This is where we get all our isms. Sexism, racism, classism. All the isms start coming into place because man now says, I determine what is good and what is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to take your wife, your daughter, I can do whatever I want to them and nobody can stop me. And so we got all this sexual perversion and violence going on, and man has been practicing it ever since. So yes, it gets to a place where it grieved God that he made man. They learned how to do violence that God never intended for man to know. They learned how to pervert things in a way God never intended. And they had some help. Because remember in that garden there was a serpent. Who was mad about his condition and who had a cohort that comes along to make sure that man learned everything that was evil and call it good. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And it continued that way. Noah, Abraham, Abraham did some good stuff, right?
Yes.
He believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. But oh, how did he treat Hagar? What about Sarah? Twice. That ain't my wife, that's my sister. But Abraham sat with God and talked with God face to face. He was connected to life. But he chose that other tree. It's a good thing that I tell these dudes that that's my sister so they don't kill me, even though God made him a promise. And then we know what happened. His son gave birth to two knuckleheads, Esau and Jacob. And then they determined what's good and evil. I'm going to scheme my brother out of his birthright. Then I'm going to scheme him out of the blessing. Oh, but now I got to run because he's going to kill me. But he has an encounter with God who makes him a promise. Plug into me, Jacob. By the way, since you wrestle with me, I'm changing your name to Israel. One who strives with God. Plug into life, and out of you, I'm going to make a great nation. And that man had 12 kids, but again, he had two wives who were sisters. That ain't Torah. And then in the midst of it, he was having children with their servants. To the point that one of his sons slept with one of the baby mamas. Eat of the trees. You can eat of the tree of life. Jacob, plug into me. Plug your kids into me. Life. Or y'all can do this your way. You decide what's good and evil. But God still used them.
Yes.
Yes, he put them in Egypt. Yes, 400 plus years they were enslaved. Yes, their bondage was hard. But then came Moses, the murderer.
Yeah, right.
I ain't killed that man. I saw you.
Right.
Yes, you did. Now I got to go on. Now I'm on the lam. Moses had a warrant. But the Bible said that this is a man who spoke face to face with God. Now we could just go all the way through all of the patriarchs and all of the big chops and Samuel, who everybody loved, that great Samuel, the last judge of Israel, the great prophet with the sons who God said, dead, I'm killing them, they stealing my sacrifices. You a horrible daddy, Samuel, but you a good prophet and a great priest.
Yes, horrible
dad. The man who told Saul, you lost. To obey is better than sacrifice. Because guess where life is found? In obedience to what God said. But Saul chose death. He chose what was good and evil. And the thing you can put on every epitaph, Samuel, David, oh, we won't even start on that drama situation. The man after God's own heart, another murderer, and a few other rapists. David would have been on Jonathan's caseload at one point. But this was the man after God's own heart. You see, these are people who are plugged into life, but they are still plagued with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And none of them could save us. Because when you read the Bible, they all die. Until Jesus comes.
Yes.
The Son of Man who comes totally plugged into life, totally dependent on God, totally dependent on God. He lived his life as it was intended in the beginning. He lived Zoe, life as it was supposed to be. Doing what God wanted him to do. letting God rule him, not being ruled by himself.
Yes.
Because see, sin is not you doing bad things. Sin is you doing what you want to do. See, because we want to fuss about, you know, whether you smoke, you drink, you cuss, you lie, you know. Those are the cold symptoms. What's the source of the cold? You don't want to follow God.
And we don't even want to say
it. And don't want to say it. Obedience plugged into life. But Jesus came plugged into life. How do we know? His own interest into the world was plugged into life. He had to humble himself and become obedient to enter into his own creation's womb. Because he's the creator.
Yes.
In the beginning,
yes,
the Word was with God. All things were made for him and by him. So Mary was his creation. But because the price of getting us away from that tree, us out of death, us being unresponsive to God, required a sacrifice. Required one who would let the serpent bruise his heel. See, I don't know. I hate snakes. I mean, and then it's awful because every other video seemed to have a big old snake in it from somewhere. Shouting in my phone the other day, lady in Florida. I'm not going to Florida anyway, but had a python wrapped around her tire, and she trying to pull it out. I said, run over! Ching, ching, bang, bang! Let's get this over with! That's my word! Okay, that's my sidebar, how I feel about snakes. Pray for them. God created them too.
Yeah.
But when a poisonous snake bites you and bites you on your heel, especially in that day, you're going to die.
Yeah.
But the promise in Genesis 3:15 said he would strike him on the heel, but he would crush his head. And so Jesus comes. And when he came, his message was simple. I have come that you might have life. And have it to the full. Not just a piece of life. Because that's what David had. That's what Abraham had. That's what Moses had. They only had temporary life. They only had pieces of what God was doing. Jesus came that we may have the full life of God at work in us. So that's why on that Sunday, which we call Palm Sunday, he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, triumphant. Why? Because the victory was already won. Because of the life he lived. See, he did what we couldn't do.
Yes.
Live totally plugged into God. Amen. Totally dependent on God. Want proof?
Yes.
Go to John chapter 14. And let's take a look at part of a conversation he was having with his disciples, starting at verse 8 and going down to verse 11. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Because remember, what was man created to do? Image the Father, image God.
What verse is that?
Verse 8. So now we have verse 9. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
All right.
How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. See, Jesus was already triumphant because the work had been done. He came and lived a life that totally showed everybody this is what life looks like. No, his entrance wasn't pretty. No, he did not grow up in an upper West Side apartment with a mother and father who had a big wedding and everybody celebrated, and 9 months later, here come baby Jesus. His interest was as low as it could get. A couple of teenagers who hadn't even been together yet, and daddy-to-be finds out he's going to be a father before he's even slept with the mother. That sounds like some Jerry Springer stuff right there. But that was his entrance. Then daddy had to go a 10-day journey to take mama to his hometown because he got to go pay taxes. And she has to go with him while she's last 199 days pregnant. Because God was moving the whole world so that he would be born in the place where the scripture said.
Amen.
And to get there and to go around and have to give birth down in the basement, pretty much, or in the garage, if you would.
Right.
Because there was no room in the house for you. Mm-hmm. What an entrance for a king. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What an entrance for God. Yeah. And to grow up in the hood, Nazareth. We were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. No prophets come out of Galilee.
That's
the ghetto. And I think everybody there related. Some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, exactly.
So he came from, he entered into humble beginnings. And he had every reason to say, "This is not fair. You know who I am. You know where I'm from. You know who my daddy is.
Yes.
Y'all better treat me with some respect. Put some respect on my name." But he was obedient because he was plugged into life. And he knew that there was only one way for victory to come. For him to come and live life. And by him living completely plugged into God, guess what happened? He ruled over demons. Remember the command in the beginning? Rule, subdue the earth, be fruitful, multiply. So when Jesus gets out of a boat and the crazy man, we were on Saturday morning class, we said the Incredible Hulk comes, smashing up everything. But when he sees Jesus, he runs to Jesus and bows down, and the demons say, "What have you to do with us, Son of God?" Because they knew who he was. Because he was so plugged into life. Because he is life. And that man went from the Incredible Hulk to Bruce Banner.
Say his name.
Now, for those of y'all who are not in the Marvel Universe, ask somebody, they'll tell you. He changed his whole life. And he wasn't the Hulk to learn how to Hulk out and still be both. He ruled over demons. What about Satan? As soon as the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, the Holy Spirit sends Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days, and here comes Satan. And he gave him a two-piece and a biscuit in the wilderness. 3 verses, and the game was over. Showing that he not only ruled over the demonic realm, the spirit realm, but on the biggest adversary, I got him too. What about being fruitful? Oh, let me not skip creation. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We sang about it. Water you turned into wine. Creation. How do you take, and I told them that, I said, I could sit here all day long and go wine, 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 red, dark red, and it's still going to be water. But Jesus said, fill those pots, and it turned into the best wine. Or another story we love, because y'all know I can talk about Jesus all day long. Help me. Jesus sleep in the boat.
Yes.
Euryclodon, Charkia going on. Storm worse than ever. Disciples say, we scared. Jesus, why you scared, Jesus? And he get up and say, peace. And they stop. And they all look at each other and go, who this? Then even the winds and the waves obey me. Because he's just like us. He was just asleep. He's human. He was sad. But he gets up and the winds and the waves stop. Because he was plugged into life. And the proof was the miracles. What about being fruitful? Look at the people Jesus dealt with. Blind, crippled, crazy. Yep. Mary Magdalene and them. Seven demons. Mary Magdalene had issues. Seven spirits. That means she was completely possessed. But we see her following Jesus, tending to Jesus. And by the way, after he died, the first one looking for Jesus. And the first person he showed himself to and gave the evangelion, the good news to, was that crazy woman. Because she was the first one who got the message and told to go tell.
Yes, first one.
But what was Jesus demonstrating? Then I'm plugged into life. So since I'm plugged into life, that means that I have fruit. I'm fruitful. I am Holy Spirit fruit-filled. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, that's who I am. Because see, when they brought this woman to me and said, she been caught in the act of adultery, Jesus, what do you say? She need to be stoned. And he said, y'all, it ain't sin. Y'all going to start throwing rocks. And after everybody left, he looked at the woman and he said, where your accusers at, woman? But my favorite, most heartwarming line to show that he was full of the Spirit. He looked at her and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, they're not here. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Talk about love. You think that woman ever cheated again? Do you think that anybody who ever encountered the lady with the issue of blood, the lepers, the people who were so outcast, do you think any of them ever went back to keep playing the same games they played before? Because they were overwhelmed by somebody who was fruitful. Because see, the key to a fruit is fruit has seeds in it. And when those seeds are deposited in good soil, it will produce much fruit.
Yes.
He was fruitful. And he was multiplying, reproducing like kind. Now that 12... they didn't look like much in the beginning. We were talking about in class yesterday. They were probably fighting each other more than anybody. Especially with Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector in the same group.
Oh, yes.
They were diametrically opposed to each other. I want to kill Rome and you work for Rome. But Jesus is saying to both of us, follow me. Did you know who that is? So Simon was probably half his life with Jesus walking around with a knife in his back pocket saying, as soon as Matthew turned his back. But Jesus loved on them and showed them life. And every one of them was willing to die to keep reproducing life. The way he lived, the way he made disciples, the way he taught, everything in line to what God created mankind to do and to begin with, to rule, to subdue, to be fruitful and multiply. Jesus' life was a life of triumph. He already won before he went to the cross.
Yes.
Hear me. He already won before he went to the cross. So that's why I asked the question, why do we celebrate today? Do we celebrate today because it's the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday, so we call it Palm Sunday, and we have our palms and we can raise this year, but that's okay because we don't need them. They out there on the table. I miss my palms. We can get them on the exit. So when you're waving your palm, you'll know why you're waving it. Because see, when he was riding in on the donkey, they thought that, okay, finally, somebody going to do something about this tax problem we got with these Romans. Finally, somebody going to do something about here. Because you know he crazy. And now his sons is ruling. They crazy than he was. Somebody going to do something about this situation. Somebody going to do something about those politicians. Somebody going to do something about them pimping preachers we got. Somebody going to do something. That's all they were thinking about.
Yes.
And then half the crowd was following Jesus saying, I hope he got tuna fish today. That blue fin, you know, that good stuff. That's the crowd. Because remember, the same crowd that was following him on Sunday, well, a few days later, was hollering, crucify him.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Still got a sandwich on.
But we have to ask ourselves, why do we celebrate resurrection? Do we celebrate the fact that he won? That victory is his because he lived life the way God intended us to?
Yes.
He won. He defeated it. He won. Yes. He made the choice. Because he had a choice. In that garden, crying, sweating, bleeding, they say. Begging for this cup to pass from him. And before him was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God rule, I rule. God rule, I rule. I'm God. I can rule. I can say this out. This is a wrap. I'm not doing that. They're not worth it. They haven't appreciated nothing I've done these 3 years. But he said, not my will, but Father, your will. Because when I came here, I laid down my will to do your will.
Amen.
Amen.
So a question. Are you experiencing life? Because after all, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly to the full. Are you living life? Are you ruling? Conquering your flesh? You ain't got to conquer the devil. He's been disarmed.
Come on.
He lying to you. Every time he say you, I'm busy. Go away. You've been defeated. Pull out your Bible and go to Colossians. Google it. Colossians 2. Where he says he disarmed the powers of darkness.
Yes.
You shooting a gun, but it ain't got no bullets.
Right.
Back to my paper. Wow. Are you ruling?
Wow.
I think about some of the simplest things we were taught in the New Testament by Apostle Paul. He said, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't go major. Like, no, now you got to make sure you're casting out 25 demons and you got to make sure you're walking on water. Simple stuff. Whatever you eat or drink. In other words, we need to plug into God just to even eat or drink without choosing to kill ourselves.
Amen.
Because he's life. So we consult. Lord, should I eat that? Go to bed. I feel sleepy. No, it's 2:30 in the morning and you're sitting up there looking at those chips. I'm just gonna confess because we're supposed to confess our faults one to another, but we may be healed. This is a hard time of year for me because Starbucks Burst put out those jelly beans, not the red ones, the mix in the bag, and they had a nerve to have them at Meijer for $2 for $6. So you got that too. You can't just have one, because one is like $4 or something. You got that too.
Yeah.
And then they say on the fact that you could like have like 15 of them in a serving. That's only 150 calories. So my wife say I already burned off 600 calories, so I'm good. I need life in order to not kill myself. No. Just don't buy them. That's what I have to say, Lord. Lord, help. It's Lent. I hope some of y'all are trying to learn how to practice, make good disciplines. This is Lent. I gave up some for Lent. It was okay until it wasn't. And then I had to repent and go right back into it. But you know what it was more about? It's not about me doing something to please God. It is like me plugging in and saying, God, I need you, because this, if I go back into this, this gonna have me. I'm gonna be unresponsive to you.
Come on.
Are you experiencing multiplying? And multiplying is not reproducing people just like you, because that's what we got in America. I'm just going to tell the truth. Because if I'm a racist, of any race, it don't matter. You can be racist, black, white, Asian. It don't matter where you come from. You can be racist. If you hate people, and you got a little leaven, y'all bakers know, a little leaven will make that will overtake the loaf. So if I got even a little bit of racism in me, and then I'm teaching other people that's got a little bit of racism in them, guess what? We got a whole congregation and a whole church full of racists. And then because I'm blind and can't see clearly, I got a beam in my eye and can't see clearly, I can't see clearly to help you. So we all walking around with beams in our eyes. Lost, blind, full of leaven, but say we love Jesus, but we hate our brother who we can say. I believe the Bible says you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. But are we reproducing life? People who are alive, who are responsive to God. That's why parents... Your biggest thing, I know, talking to you, they don't hear you. Your kids don't listen to you. We didn't listen to our parents except the fact that they used strenuous means to get our attention.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. They used all of nature in creation to get their point across at times. But we watched them. We watched how they dealt with their Bible. I watched my parents, even as tall up as some of the stuff was, get on their knees and pray at night. Every Sunday, it was required. It wasn't an option of whether you were getting up going to church.
Same.
You in my house. Same. We're going to church. And my mother would be good. She would send us, and she would come after we got out of the house, because she had to make sure everything was straight. But what happened? Every last one of us know Jesus.
Amen.
Every last one. It wasn't an option. Because even though we didn't see perfection, we saw a relationship. We saw that they knew life.
Wow.
And they took us to the place that would help get us plugged into life. So what are you reproducing? What are you multiplying? What are you ruling over? Are you producing fruit? Okay. When people come to you, do they want to be around you because you're fruity? Not fruity. Let me make it plain, because I know one way. 20 years, I know. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Do they see that? Do they see the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in from you? You talk about manifesting. That's that word today. People, I'm going to manifest. Manifest some common sense. Yes. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Real love. Not, I love you till you mess it up. No. No, love to the point of I want the best for you, even if it costs me. Mm. They seeing that? Or are you standing in front of that tree, determining that I can figure this out? I can determine. I've read enough in my Bible to know what's good and what's evil. That's why we had slavery. Chattel slavery, because some people read their Bible and determined what was good and what was evil. And they determined that it was not evil to take, kidnap people from their nation, bring them over and enslave them. And treat them like animals. And then get a guilt conscience and say, we don't want their souls to go to hell when they die, so we're going to tell them a little bit something. And it is an amazing our ancestors who shows that God is spirit. They knew that it was something wrong with what they were seeing in those Christians. Amen. And with what little gospel they got, they knew who the real Jesus was. They were able to plug into life. Because somebody around them had to be plugged into life. Let me finish. So if you're standing by that tree determining, guess what? You're the first part of John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I'm going to need you in these 20 years that haven't been resident in this church. Examine your life. Look at the areas. See where the thief is getting in. Where is he stealing from you? What has he killed in you? What is he destroying in you? Because if you see destruction, theft, and death, you're not plugged into life.
Come on,
on a continual basis. Because see, this is not a one-time prayer, stand up and give your hand to the preacher and your heart to God thing. This is every single day of our life. We have to get up and choose to plug into life. Every single day we have to say no to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and yes to life. Why? I get to the back. It's not much. Because of Jesus. Because he came. That we might have life. You see, when he rode in and triumphed, he knew what was about to happen. He was about to go to the temple, pick a fight, so they would put him on the cross. So he could go finish the rest of the work. Amen. To go shed his blood one time for all, to cleanse all, so that we could all plug back into life.
Yes.
That's what he came for. He didn't just come to save us from our sins. Let me repeat that. He did not just come to save us from our sins. He could have done that. Matter of fact, when he came, he was saying, repent and be for the forgiveness of sins. That was his message before the cross. He was saying, turn to me because I'm life. Remember what he told Thomas? I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
And no man comes to the Father but by me. So what he's still saying today is, every day, I'm life. Choose me. I'm life. Choose me. I gave my life for you so that you could plug into my life and have my life at work in you, so that when the thief comes, you can tell him the king rocks.
Okay.
I'm life. We all got struggles. But guess what? We get to choose. People that don't know Jesus have one choice. Good and evil. Death. they're already dead because it means unresponsive to God. So that's why when you look at people and you see what they're doing, recognize this and please help yourself with this, because we need to have compassion on people. If they're dead and you know how to get them back to life,
come on.
Tell them.
Come on. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. They can't respond, but he is still resurrected. That is why he died. The purpose of dying was simple. Resurrection. Again, it wasn't your sins. It was resurrection. It was resurrection. Because resurrection showed that those who are dead can live. Those who die can live. And if you believe in Jesus, when you die, you don't die, you live. Because him that liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Yes.
Why? Because he's life.
That's right. Yeah.
So my challenge to us today, don't wave your palm and go, it's Palm Sunday. Wave your palm in victory.
Okay.
Because life has triumphed over death.
Yeah.
And every day we get to choose life because of Jesus. Amen. The victory belongs to you, Jesus. We can't take any credit for any of it. And Father, we thank you because you made a way. And it wasn't just any old way. You gave the greatest sacrifice you could ever have, Father. So today my prayer is for anybody who's here listening, who knows you, but is still struggling with which tree to choose from every day. We pray that they wake up in the morning and choose life.
Okay.
And for those, Lord, who don't know you, who are dead and unresponsive, Holy Spirit, we already know you're doing the work because they're here and they're hearing your voice.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that they hear you, believe in Jesus, turn to him, and find out he is life and that he is still transforming. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you for these 20 years you've given us, and we look forward to every year that we get to be with you in life, because we know it's eternal.
Yes.
In Jesus we pray.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Preacher, and if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, it tells us those that preach the word should also earn their living from the word. So this time we're going to have a love offering for my preacher.
Thank you, man.
Thank you,
sitting down too long.
Here, give us a second.
I'll be busy.
That's what I thought he was in high school or college or something.
No, he looked like a...
You look old enough to be like a senior. To be a senior? I ain't had no freshman year as a senior. The only thing that was on my side was height.
Yeah.
I ain't had no freshman year. But I'm saying that. The only thing I had on my side was height. If I was short, I'd be looking at it.
Thank you.
receive our benediction. To him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Let all God's people say,
Amen.
If anybody needs Bible questions, they're like here for Wednesday.
I mean,
John got a back of the last time I saw him. Look at you, boy.